Okay, so we're on page 5, volume 21, 3527. So my coming upon earth was a bond of reunion of times. Okay, so here, Jesus says 2,000 years ago, he's going to bring about this reunion between God and man. It was a remedy in order to form this bond. So Jesus dying on the cross was the remedy so that we could again be sanctified. So that the kingdom of the divine fiat might return into the midst of creatures. So when we see Christ crucified, see that the Christ crucified is the mirror in which we look at. We went nailed to the cross of Jesus, our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, our sin. We never want to embrace this human weakness anymore. So the mirror is Christ crucified. Okay, we have to see, nailed to that cross, our sinfulness. This is why, during Lent, it is very important that we look at Jesus crucified. This is why we do the Hours of the Passion, most especially during Lent. This is why, if you haven't seen Mel Gibson movie, The Passion of the Christ, see it, watch it. If you have seen it, watch it again. Jesus wants us to look at him. He wants us to see him crucified. Our Lord is very clear. He wanted his mother there so that she could watch him die. And it's the same thing for us. Some people have said to me, well, I can't watch it. It's too gruesome. Now, the thing is, Jesus wants you to see him die. That's, this is why, the crucifixes are so important. We are called by God to really meditate on Christ crucified. This is the glory of God, Christ crucified. This is where he has redeemed us. So, he says very clearly, he wants to tie us with these bonds formed by Jesus of Jesus crucified. This is why before speaking to you about my divine will, I spoke to you about my coming upon the earth, of what I did and suffered in order to give you the remedies of the model of my own life. And then I spoke to you about my divine will. So the first thing is, for the last 2,000 years, he's told us about his life. And now, 2,000 years later, he's teaching us about his divine will. See, it's Jesus, it's Mary. And now this life of Jesus as Mary has been given to Louisa. And as we read this, as we study this, our lives fall more in love with Jesus, more in love with Mary. He says, it was bonds that I formed in you, Louisa, and these bonds formed in the kingdom of my divine will. And as a sign of this, there are the many knowledges that I have manifested to you, Louisa, about my divine will. So, Jesus says, as a sign, he says, I give you the book of heaven. So, Louisa's the sign, and the book of heaven's the sign. Now, again, God is going to shake the earth. This is very, very clear. It's going to shake like it's never shaken before. It's something that has never been seen and will never be seen again. For the rest of the world, it's going to be terror. As everything starts to crumble around, people are going to be terrified because they're so far from God that he has to wake them up. He's going to produce a great miracle that will bring people to him, but most people will basically be trembling in fear. For us, it will be fiat. We've learned how to say fiat in our physical, spiritual, mental, and emotional sufferings. And by learning how to give our fiat, we begin to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness. So what is coming, Jesus says, the chastisement that's coming will have little or no effect upon the souls in the divine will. So as we learn this gift, as we study this gift, again, there's nothing to worry about. So the true sign are the many knowledges that Jesus has manifested to Louisa. It's sorrow because it does not reign with all its fullness in the midst of souls. and the good it promises to the children of its kingdom. So everything that you're reading, no one possesses it fully yet. This is something that we have to understand. Luis is the only one that possesses it fully. And if you talk to Father Bucci, he says his aunt possessed it. His aunt, I could possibly see that to a larger degree than us, because she was constantly with Luisa. Luisa was teaching her constantly. For us, it's the same thing. As we learn this gift of the divine will, as Jesus and Mary teach us through Luisa, we begin to live in the divine will. But as Jesus tells us in the three appeals, it will be the Pope who will be the first one to live in the divine will. The Holy Father will be the first. And we pray that he possesses this gift, because you always need a man and a woman. You have Adam and Eve, you have Jesus and Mary, you have Luisa and the Pope. He has the keys to the kingdom. And as a matter of fact, he says to Luisa, Jesus says, you must be the key. Okay, so volume 21, 3:10, 27. It happened as to a king who loses his kingdom in a war. Can there not be the chance that one of his children, with another war, may reunite the kingdom of his father that once was his? More so, since I, God, the divine conqueror, came upon earth to make up for the losses of man and find anyone who would receive this kingdom, I, God, would give him back this divine strength, placing my army at his disposal once again in order to maintain its order, its decorum, its glory. And what is this army? It is the whole of creation, in which, more than a marvelous and formidable army, the life of my divine will is bilocated in each created thing in order to maintain the life of its kingdom. Only if man saw the whole invincible army of creation disappear, then he would lose the hope to possess this kingdom again. Then one could say, God has withdrawn his divine will from the face of the earth, and that vivified and embellished it, enriched it. There is no more hope. Excuse me. Sorry about that. There is no more hope that the kingdom may be in our possession. But as long as creation exists, it is a matter of time in order to find those who want to receive the kingdom. So listen to what Jesus says. He says, there is hope because of creation. And he says, it is only a matter of time before the kingdom is to come upon earth. He says, but I have to find those who want this kingdom, to receive this kingdom. So again, that's our job. Our job is to long for it. Our job is to desire it. Our job is to read and study about this kingdom that has been given to Luisa, the truths that Jesus manifested to Luisa in the Book of Heaven. This is the sign that God has given to us. As we read this, as we study this, as we put this into practice, we become filled with peace, joy, and happiness. There's no more worry. There's no more fear. There's no more anxiety. There's no more complaints. There's no more negativity. There's no more sin. Our God wants us to begin to live a life that has not been seen since Adam fell. That has not been seen since Jesus and Mary left the earth. They were the only three who lived in it. Now they breathe this life into Luisa. And now Jesus wants us to possess this life if we have Luisa. So he says, and besides, if there is no hope to possess the kingdom of the divine fiat, it would not have been necessary that I, God, manifest to you, Luisa, so many knowledges about the divine will. Either its will that wants to reign, or its sorrow because it does not reign. When something cannot be realized, it is useless to talk about it. Therefore, I would have no interest in saying so many beautiful things that regards to my divine will. So my mere speaking about it is the sign that I, God, want it to be possessed once again by each and every one of us. So the Book of Heaven is the sign. Okay? I feel so sorry for those that don't know about Luisa, don't know about the Book of Heaven. Those people, unfortunately, will have to go through the sign of the floods, the famines, the plagues, the earthquake, earthquakes. This is, they're going to have to wake up. Our job, hopefully, is we have been awoken, and we want to focus on this gift. That's why the 36 volumes are so important, is to read, to reread, to let God expand your capacity so he can fill you with more truth. And again, in order to possess the kingdom of God. He only breathed once into Adam. Well, what he wants to do now is every time we read a truth, he breathes in, he's a puff of breath, a puff of breath, a puff of breath. And then he expands our capacity. So it's not just one time like he did with Adam. He gives us little by little. And as we learn this, as we study this, as we put this into practice, we want to begin to live it. So volume 23, 12, 18, 27. My daughter, each prophecy I gave to my prophets about my coming upon earth was like a commitment I made to creatures of my coming into their midst. And the prophets, by manifesting them, disposed the peoples to desire and to want a good that is so great. Jesus is coming to earth. And these, in receiving these prophecies, received the deposit to the commitment. And as I kept manifesting the time and the place of my birth, I kept increasing the pledge of the commitment. And then he says this, so I am doing now with the kingdom of my divine will. See, as you read this, you can never be the same. Each manifestation I make to you, Louisa, concerning my divine fiat, is a commitment that I make. Each knowledge about the divine will is one more pledge that I add. And if I make my commitment, it is a sign that just as the kingdom of redemption came, so shall the kingdom of my divine will come. My words are lives that I, God, issue from myself, and life must have its dwelling and produce its effects. So Jesus is showing us that his words are divine lives. See, when God gives something, it's always living. When we have a talent, it's an angelic talent. If you're good at math, it's because you have an angel of math. It's nothing to do with you. You are nothing. If you are good at music, it's because God has given you an angel of music. And it's the angel who helps. And the more you pray to your angels, the better your talent will be. What Jesus is saying is when he speaks these words, the word of God, Jesus Christ, when he dictates these words to Louisa, they are filled with divine lives. And as you breathe them in, as you masticate these words, as you grow in the knowledge of these truths, what happens at that point is God himself is expanding your capacity with a divine life. It's from the word of God, Jesus Christ. Now, think about it. He calls the book of heaven the testament of the kingdom. And in Matthew, it says, until the testament of the kingdom is preached to all the world. Does that say something to us? When Louisa is venerable, when she becomes blessed, these volumes were given to the whole world, and the world will change. It cannot stay the same. But right now, God has given us the possibility to read this, to study this. Again, your family doesn't want it, your neighbors don't want it, your coworkers don't want it. Nobody wants this. They have their own things that they want to do. They're even in holy things. This is what they want. What Jesus is asking of us is that we begin to embrace these truths, begin to breathe in these truths so that Jesus can transform us with these divine lives of every word that he speaks to us. See, his word has power. When God said, fiat lux, let there be light, everything changed. There was light. And it's when Our Lady said, fiat mihi, let it be done to me, as you say, the incarnation took place. And when now we say, fiat voluntas tua, may your kingdom come on earth, in me, on earth, as the saints possess it in heaven, things change. See, the fiat, Jesus says, when I hear the word fiat, Jesus says, I go into ecstasy. Fiat, the fiat, because it's the power of God. Now, what do you think Jesus means when he says, you say to those mountains, move, and the mountains must move. You say to the sycamore, be uprooted and cast into the sea, and it must obey you. See, this is not just words. The power of God is going to be given to us. We can see that as Catholics with a priest saying, "This is my body." The power of those words is Jesus himself that is speaking. When the priest says, "I absolve you of your sins," that is Jesus Christ himself speaking through the priest. We understand this power. But see, Jesus wants to give us more. Our God is gratuitous. He's constantly giving more and more and more. And it's nothing that we have done. That's what St. Louis de Montfort says. It will be the greatest saints in the history of the world in the last days, and it's nothing that they have done but what God has done for them. So our God is asking us, pleading with us to let these divine lives, these words that issue from Jesus himself, to begin to dwell and produce its effects in us. These are not like any other books. That's why as you read the Book of Heaven, as you study the Book of Heaven, you cannot be the same. You're going to grow into living images and likenesses of God. How? With these words that Jesus, the Word of God, speaks to you. So you have to understand, this is nothing ordinary. This is extraordinary. This is supernatural. And like I said, Catholics understand the supernatural. We understand that God wants us not to be focused on this earth, but to be focused on heaven. He says, "Do you think one more manifestation of one less is something trivial? Or it is one more commitment that God makes, and our commitments cannot go lost. And the more commitments that we make, the closer the time is to carry out our contentments and to place them all in safety. This is why I require of you your highest attention." So why are you washing the dishes? Jesus says, "I require of you your highest attention as you wash your dishes, as you sweep the floor, as you brush your teeth, you know, as you blink." He says, "I require your highest attention, that you let nothing escape you. Otherwise, you would let a divine commitment escape you, and this would carry some consequences." So the Lord is asking us to allow him to be Lord of our life in everything that we think, say, and do. That he become the Lord of our life in everything that we think, say, and do. We're never alone again. We're always with Jesus. He's always with us. And it's not to know about Jesus, but to be intimately, have this intimate knowledge of Jesus. Not to be separated at all from God. Volume 23, 122, 28. "My daughter, if you knew who it is that pushes you, that makes you insist so much, that would want to move everything in you to call the life the kingdom of divine will upon earth, you would be amazed." Now he's saying that to us as well. Do you know who's asking you to do this? Who's pushing you to do this? And Louisa says, "Tell me, my love, who is it?" And Jesus in all tenderness said, "Do you want to know? It is my divine will itself that pushes you to do this. Because the divine will wants to make itself known. The divine will wants to reign. But the divine will wants the insistence of its little child, who, pressing itself in every way and moving everything, would call the divine will with everyone, past, present, and future, with the most powerful means to come upon earth." Do you see our job? Just why Jesus says it is the greatest job that God could ever give to a human. Linking ourselves with Louisa to call the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. To begin to live heaven on earth. not to be here, stuck in time and space, stuck on the earth, but to live in eternity with God, in paradise with God. See, God does not want you to wait until you die to experience this. God wants you to experience this now. Like when he told Peter, "Come out in the water, Peter," and Peter walked 20 feet and then sank. He didn't say to Peter, "Well, good job, you walked 20 feet." He says, "Why did you fail? Why did you falter? What's wrong with you? Where is your faith?" That's a divine act. When he said to Philip, "You feed the 5,000. Philip, being logical, "Not even 200 days' wages can I feed these people." Jesus says, "Get out of my way." See, God wants us to do divine things. And again, we're going to have to understand what this is about. He says very clearly, pressing in every way and moving everything that it would call, the divine will would call with everyone the most powerful means to come upon earth. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's God in us that's saying that. All we're doing is cooperating with God. But he says, I want you to be focused on this. I require of you your highest attention. He says, this can't be secondary anymore. He says that your insistences are the sign and the image of the divine will's yearning, of the divine will's infinite cares, and insistences for the divine will wants to give itself to all souls. And just as you want to move everything, so would it want to move everything, the sea, the sun, the heavens, the wind, the earth, so that everyone might move the creatures to recognize it, to receive it, and to love it. So it's in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. It's every soul, every heartbeat that every soul ever produced, every breath. Now, but not only that, but the sea, the sun, the heavens, the wind, the earth, everything is begging God for the kingdom to be on earth as it is in heaven. How? Through Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa. It's not just praying for a thing or two. It's to pray for the kingdom to be established. So that when the kingdom is established, there will be no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sin, no more suffering, no more death. That's what God is asking us to do. That everybody may recognize the divine will, receive the divine will, and love the divine will. Volume 23:2-28. Now, it is right that you, Louisa, fulfill your duty and make up for that unity lost by Adam. From the time when mind did its universal withdrawing into the celestial regions, it is my divine will, perhaps not free to give itself again. As long as it finds again one, Louisa, the one, who no longer wants to live of her human will. So Louisa has proved to Jesus that she no longer wants to live in her human will, as Our Lady proved to God that she no longer wanted to live in her divine will. In her human will, sorry. So now Jesus is asking us to link ourselves with Louisa, to have the true life of Jesus, who never did his will, the true life of Mary, who never did her will, with Louisa, who never wanted to do her human will, so that everyone can begin to live in the divine will. Again, this is not holy, this is not good, this is not saintly. This is divine. Okay? The saints did everything in a holy manner. The saints did everything in a saintly manner. Human, saintly. Human, holy. Jesus is now saying, I want to give you the sanctity of sanctities. I want to give to you the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, which is not focused on the human, but focused on the divine. Besides, you must know, and when Jesus says that, this is a command, that if my divine will were not present in you, Louisa, could not have comprehended its celestial language. So that gives us a clue. He says very clearly, if the divine will were not present in us, we would not have comprehended the celestial language of the divine will. Now, when we go, oh, I understand, as soon as you say that, the divine will is there. As soon as you say, fiat, I want this, the divine will is there. Not in its fullness, but little by little, God is teaching us. Little by little, he's showing us. He said, it would have been like a foreign dialect to you, a light without heat, like food without sustenance. It would have been difficult for you to write it on paper in order to transmit it to your brothers. And if we didn't have the divine will, we couldn't read this and understand it. See, the sign is Louisa, who wrote it. The sign now is us, who are linked to Louisa, who understand this. Again, it's how glorious this is. So he says, all this is a sign that my divine will is lording over you and everything. Make it itself thought in your mind, word on your lips, heartbeat in your heart. The teacher who knows that his pupil comprehends his lesson and loves to listen to him. Therefore, it was necessary to give you the gift of my divine will. And this is what he's saying to us. It is necessary that we, being linked to Louisa, always already have received the gift of the divine will, but not to its fullest extent, so as to give you the grace necessary in order to make you know and transcribe all the most beautiful prerogatives of the kingdom of my divine fiat. And for us, he gives us the necessary grace in order to make us know and read all the most beautiful prerogatives of the kingdom of God's fiat. See, God is, all he's looking for is, if you can say fiat, I want this, then God will do all the rest. And then the more that you say fiat, and to link yourself with Louisa is to read. The more that you read, the more that you study this, the more God will explain everything to you. Every question you have is found in the volumes. And as you read, your questions start disappearing. Because all that you're experiencing is fiat. Let it be done to me as you say. And then Jesus expands your capacity to understand even more. So there's no formula to this. Each one of us has a unique perspective. Okay, when you say draw something or think of a red object, each of us thinks of a different red object. Whether it's a fire truck or a flame or a tomato or an apple or whatever. Everyone thinks something different. And even if you think of the same object, of like a tomato, you're seeing it different than another person, completely different. Even the hue and the tone and the shade is different. Now, this uniqueness is what God loves. You know, I understand this the way Jesus is teaching me. You will understand it the way Jesus teaches you. There's no formula to do this. It's the more that you read, the more that you study, the more that you put this into practice, the more the Lord expands your capacity. And what happens to a lot of people is this tastes so good, these words are so good, so delicious, that what a lot of people do is they take it out of their mouth, dripping with saliva, and say, you got to eat this. It turns everybody off. Thank you, but no thank you. You know, it looks really good, but I've choked it a couple times. It's really not that bad. It's really what you do is, as you read this, God is. It depends on how you look at it. You know, it's. This is so filled with life, so filled with love, so filled with this light of God, that as you taste this, it's for you alone. And the more that you focus on this, the better it is. I want to know how you experience the divine will as you read. Because I don't see what you see. I know that God wants to teach every one of us in our unique manner. And the more that we're docile we are, the more we're surrendered we are, the more we say fiat, the more God can transmute us into living images of himself. And again, you know, Jesus says to Louisa, it's like being a multifaceted crystal. You know, each place that you look is completely different from the place before. And each shave of that crystal is unique in the way it was made. Yet all together, you see the light sparkling. Okay? Each and every one of us is unique. And we have to be the best that we possibly can be so God can use us the way he wants to use us. This gift is there's no formula. Like somebody says, so well, can we start a third order of the divine will? No, it doesn't make sense. This is not a devotional life. It's not a religious life. It would be like saying to Adam and Eve, you want to start our order of St. Francis? And they go, well, why? You know, it's not that, it's to begin to live the life of Jesus, to begin to live the life of Mary through Louisa. This is extraordinary. This is why he says it, God has given us the grace necessary to know the most beautiful prerogatives of the kingdom of my divine fiat as you read. 24, volume 24, 430, 28. If the kingdom of my divine will had not been decreed, I would have not have told you, Louisa, so much about it, nor would I have chosen you, Louisa, in a way all special for this purpose. So again, we see this has been decreed by God. It's a divine decree of the Holy Trinity. Okay. He is, as we read, Jesus himself is telling us more and more. Why? As he chose Louisa, he's choosing us to be linked to Louisa in a way all special for this purpose alone. So it's not to be, following the prayers of St. Ignatius. It's not to be following the prayers of St. Teresa. It's to begin to pray the way Jesus prayed. That's why volume 16 to volume 36 teaches us how to pray the rounds. And as you pray the rounds, the world is changing. The rounds are the hymns, the songs, the praises that Adam gave to God when he walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. The rounds are the prayers, the praises, the hymns that Jesus prayed to the Father. It's the prayers that our Mary prayed to the Father. Now Jesus and Mary have breathed these prayers into Louisa, and as she learned how to pray the rounds, Jesus is asking us to pray with Louisa so that these hymns are brought to the throne of God again. See, when Adam sinned, everything became silent. There was nobody to give a hymn to God. When Jesus and Mary came to earth, the hymns began again. And that's why the devil had to kill, had to try, lie and kill Jesus. They had to do this. And he was happy that the silence was here again. When Mary left, there was silence. He was happy. And now, 2,000 years later, Jesus has given us Louisa. The songs have begun. And so the devil is very, very angry. And when you put your heel on the head of a snake, the snake's tail whips all around. And that's what's happening right now. Our Lady is crushing the head of Lucifer. And the tail is violent. Okay? Now, if you're afraid of that, you don't understand Our Lady. If you're worried about it, it's because you don't understand what Our Lady is doing. I mean, God has so much fun that he said to Louisa in volume 15, my mother will crush the head, and then you, Louisa, will put the final crush, the final kaput. His head is going to be crushed. So what does God do just to make the devil upset? Is he makes Italy look like a boot, and he puts Corrado in the heel. So every time the devil looks at the earth, he sees the boot. He sees the heel. And he's going to be crushed. And Our Lady is going to be victorious. The Eucharistic reign of Jesus is going to occur. The triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is going to happen. And it's happening. If we are consecrated to Jesus and Mary, her Immaculate Heart, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, we're fortunate, very, very fortunate. Jesus says, my word would have been without life, without fruit, if it were not so, without the generative and fecunding virtue, which cannot be. My word possesses the virtue of generating and forming through its fecundity, its offspring of endless lives. So he's talking about, as he speaks to Louisa, these words are our divine lives, endless lives. As we read these words, divine lives are being born in us. See, nothing is inanimate in the kingdom. Everything is living. When Jesus speaks, it is alive. And he wants us to understand, as we breathe in these words of the Book of Heaven, it's bringing about the offspring of endless lives within us. So he says, this happened in redemption because it had been decreed by us, triune God, in heaven. A Virgin Mary was created who was to be the mother of the eternal Word, Jesus. If this had not been decreed, there would have been no reason nor necessity to decree and choose the Virgin Mary, wholly unique, wholly special, nor to give so many manifestations to the prophets who depicted the life of the Word in his holy humanity, describing his pains so vividly as if they had him present with them. Therefore, when our divine benignity designs to choose and to manifest itself, it is the sure sign and the beginning of the carrying out of its works, which it holds as decreed. Therefore, you must be attentive. And that's what he says to us. Let your Jesus do everything, because neither power nor means are lacking for what I, God, want, and for carrying out what I, God, have decreed. See, it's going to happen. And God is just offering this to us as a gift to us. There's no reason for this. He says, it's decreed, this is what's coming, but I want to give you everything that I gave to Louisa. There's no reason for that. He wants us to possess everything that he gave to Louisa, the newborn, the firstborn in the divine will, to begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. Jesus says, it's for everybody, but in reality, it's for those who want it. He says, I want everyone to have this. And then he says, but the human will is so strong. The human will is so powerful. He says that I give it to you because the rest of humanity cannot say yes to this. They will have an excuse, a reason. They will find a way not to be part of it. You know, there are many reasons not to come to a day of recollection. You have many, many reasons. And Jesus says, I'm giving this to you so that you can grow. And you know, don't expect a lot of people. Don't expect your family. Don't expect your friends. Don't expect your neighbors. Don't expect the people that you think would embrace this. Because everybody has many things to do. And even though God has decreed this, he's giving it to those who want it. And hopefully we are the ones who want it. Volume 24, 9:24-28. Don't you know that what regards my divine will and its kingdom is nothing other than the continuation of creation, the narration to Adam that was to be continued had Adam not sinned, and had Adam possessed my kingdom of the fiat. But since Adam rejected my divine will, Adam interrupted the narration of the story of my divine will, more so since my divine will had no more reason to make it, for Adam no longer possessed its kingdom. Yet, after so many centuries, my divine will has now resumed its narration to you, Louisa, to make itself known. And now this is the sign that it wants to give its kingdom. So the book of heaven is God's sign to us. We have to understand that as we enter into this gift and be filled with this gift, there's no more worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity. There's no more sin. You begin to live a life that is totally and completely happy, joyful. It is a sign that wants to give its kingdom. Therefore, what I, God, manifested to you, Louisa, by my divine will is nothing other than the continuing from the beginning of the creation in order to narrate the divine life of the divine will to souls. Adam was supposed to teach us this. And since Adam fell, Jesus says, now I am going to do this. As the new Adam, I'm going to teach you this so that you write everything down, Louisa, and for the souls who must live in the divine will, they will read it. So at Holy Communion, every time at Holy Communion, I always pray for the souls who must live in the divine will, that they give their fiat continuously so God can expand their capacity. Volume 25, 1:1-29. About 20 centuries have passed and I have not stopped. My sighs last still. And if I have manifested to you, Louisa, so many knowledges about my divine will, these are nothing other than my speaking tears and the indelible characteristics of my pains and sighs that, transforming into words, manifest themselves to you, Louisa, to make you, Louisa, write on paper with the most tender and convincing manners what regards to my divine will and how the divine will wants to reign on earth as it does in heaven. So here's Jesus. And that's why as you read it, the closer you get to Jesus, the more you're going to be filled with this knowledge. The closer you get to Jesus, the more he will explain things to you that nobody wants to hear about. So it's like, for example, when you do the Stations of the Cross, be with Jesus. Go to Jerusalem. Be with Jesus. And when he begins to fall under the weight of the cross, that you help him. Instead of his face crashing into the earth with the cross crushing his head, with the thorns being, you know, embedded even deeper, you know, get in between the thorns and the ground. Get in between the thorns and the cross. You know, be there with Jesus. You know, don't just read it as words. But, you know, this is why Jesus talks about the bilocation. He wants us to be with him. He wants us to see what he's gone through. When you look at the movie, The Passion of the Christ, you see at the end, after the scourging, you know, Mary and Magdalene wiping out the blood. I mean, you go there. You know, wipe up the blood of Jesus. Take the parts of his flesh that are on the ground and collect them. I mean, actually be there. Like I said, this is not a pious thought. It's a reality. Let Jesus take you to Bethlehem to hold him as a baby. Let Jesus take you to Nazareth to see him as a child. See, again, there's no time or space with the divine will. You know, actually be there. If you want, God will take you there. See, your prayer life is going to change. It cannot be the same anymore. This is just not rote prayer. It's to enter into the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary that Louisa has. Jesus says, therefore, on our part, the divinity has decided with indelible and unshakable decrees that our divine will come to reign upon earth, and no one can move us. And as the sign of this, we have dispatched from heaven the army of the knowledges of the divine will in the book of heaven. If this were not so, it would not be worthwhile to place so many values of a divine will at risk. And just as they have remained hidden to man for so many centuries, so they could continue. Now, we, triune God, are waiting for the creature's part who are still indecisive from making up their minds, especially those who are indecisive from occupying themselves with making known the secrets of my divine will and the great good of its knowledges. So Jesus is saying he's waiting for us who are indecisive. He's waiting for us to occupy the knowledges of this gift and the great good of these knowledges, what they're going to do for us. See, this is where the fiat comes in. The fiat is, let it be done to me as you say. The fiat is total surrender, total submission, total docility. The human will, oh, how ungrateful you are. But I am, God says, uses his name, I am waiting for your decision so that we may exchange the kiss and I may give you the kingdom that I have prepared for you, and you are still indecisive? See, Jesus, he wants to give us this kingdom. He says, give me your human will, give me your human misery, your penny, your rusty penny, and I will fill you with billions of dollars. And we say to God, well, if I give you this rusty penny, I won't have it again. I won't have it anymore. And God says, that's exactly what I want. Not to be you. I don't want you to be worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, or negative ever again. I don't want you to sin ever again. And we go, I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, how sad this must make our God. See, this indecision is horrible. My daughter, pray and place no obstacle on your part to a good so great that you'll be the greatest display of our love. So he says to us, he doesn't want us to have any obstacles. This is something that is going to astonish us. What God is going to do is going to astonish us. And again, like I said, what he's going to do, it's going to be so powerful that every Jew, every Buddhist, every Hindu, every Muslim, every Protestant will say, I want to be a baptized Catholic. I want this universal life. God is going to be doing something great, and he's asking us to pray for this, to live this so that this divine decree can happen. So we'll end there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.